So yesterday I happened to have come across a speech that Jake Shepherd from Synthesis said at one of the Mandela Day events. I read the speech and I thought to myself, this is something that is quite incredible. It talks about the fourth industrial revolution and it speaks about the relevance of our own behavior and our own training and our own attitude towards ourselves in the future. And I thought, let me ask Jake to pop into studio and take us through this. Jake, a very good morning and thank you for coming in on very, very short notice. What is the fourth industrial revolution? Let's start there in case anybody hasn't heard about it.
Yeah, thanks, Howard. I really appreciate the opportunity to come onto the station. We hear a lot of talk about the fourth industrial revolution, and I think to some extent it speaks about a time of tremendous change, which I agree it's huge change it's going to bring into our world, into our society. I think the only thing for me that I'd like to maybe tweak on it is I don't feel the name industrial revolution really speaks to it really well. And I'd prefer the name cognitive or intelligence revolution. And the reason is that human beings have two primary skills. One is our muscles, our arms and our legs. And the other is our mind. We can think and we can be creative.
And,
And essentially what the Industrial Revolution speaks about, certainly first, second, and third, is all about a change to society which occurred because of the mechanization, bringing in industry, bringing in manufacturing, assembly line processing. It's all about stuff that really took away our need to rely on our muscles, our arms, and our legs, and it forced us to rely on our second skill, our mind.
And I think, so that's why it's been attributed. I didn't think of it in that way. So that's why this has been called an industrial revolution, because effectively we might not have to drive cars anymore. We don't need to pack boxes. We don't, because everything is going to, is becoming more and more mechanized.
But it's a different, the revolution is slightly different from what's happened in the past, in the sense in that up until now we really relied on our mind and we relied on our ability to be creative. And for the first time, computers and thinking machines are starting to encroach on that territory, which actually is quite a scary point.
Very scary. Yeah, because that begs the question, and that's what I loved about what you wrote, was, well, then how am I going to be relevant in the future? What do I need to do to be relevant as a person and as a contributing member to society?
And that, I mean, it's a really good question. I have two incredible children, and it's something that really kept me up at night. What do I teach them? What are those skills that they need to succeed in the future that I know is very challenging? So certainly when you start thinking that professions like drivers might be starting to fall away, supermarket tellers, lawyers, doctors, because really you can teach a computer to do almost anything, certainly if that thing's repetitive, even more so.
So because that's machine learning, effectively.
It's machine learning. It's where everything's going. So how do human beings remain relevant, and how do we create a space for ourselves? And I think we can. I think, you know, while the future's scary, it's unknown, I think there are massive opportunities, and they are opportunities that are open to us if we're ready to spot them and then maybe change our careers, go for that new opportunity, learn new skills. And really what I wanted to challenge people that were listening to the speech that I was giving was to really say that you need to embrace being three things. You need to become a lifelong learner. You need to become a human Panado. And then you need to become a master storyteller.
So you need to just say that again, our three things that we need to be.
So we need to become a lifelong learner.
A lifelong learner, okay.
A human Panado.
Okay, you got me at that.
Yeah.
And you two's a nutty. I can tell you see's a nutty. Like what?
And a master storyteller. Those three are essential.
All right, I want to, obviously we're going to unpack those three items and understand what on earth you meant by that. Time is 8:17. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM. In studio with me is Jake Shepherd, and we are speaking about the fourth industrial revolution and how people remain relevant in the future. Let's take the first concept.
Yes. So what is a lifelong learner? It's really the skill to learn new skills. And I think what we need to try and understand is that we really need to be able to learn to motivate ourselves so that we, because learning a new skill is hard. You have to put in a lot of effort. Mm. It's a huge commitment. You're trying to do something.
And we're all, and we're not living in that age. We're living in the age of very quick fixes.
Yes. I mean, we want things to be, you know, to arrive immediately and instant gratification.
Absolutely.
And I think really what we need to be able to realize is that we need to have a mechanism to encourage ourselves to learn those new skills and to put in the time and the effort. And I think one of the things you need to learn to do is to bribe yourself, to work out what are those things that will encourage you to reach a particular learning milestone and then reward yourself with that. So maybe it's going to a movie or going out for dinner. Maybe those are rewards, but only do that when you reach a milestone.
Yeah. And it's quite good to teach your kids that as well. We often do that is we'll say, not give them an external reward, but say, all right, once you've done X amount of work or you've covered that, what are you going to do for enjoyment?
Yes.
And what you're going to allow yourself.
So maybe that's your music break or your TV break.
Exactly.
And then I think the next thing that's really important is to actually learn a bit of patience. Because to learn a new skill, you've got to practice it and do it a lot. Eventually, it'll become fun. I remember my son really struggling with reading, and when he actually put in huge effort, and we were bribing him to read, it eventually became so fun from a reading point of view that he was starting to read longer books than I ever read.
Well, yeah, we were shameless in that regard. We did. We paid our kids 20 rand a book, and it was well worth it. It was well worth it. It was probably one of our better investments.
For sure. And I think then the next thing to do is actually just to look out for the next skill that you need to actually pick up.
And just do something you love. You love. Engage on a learning a journey that absolutely feeds your soul.
And I think the importance of learning new skills is that if you start picking up 1, 2, 3, 4 different skills and you start actually building up your skill base, what actually happens is you start seeing the world from a different angle. Mm. You start seeing that you can take this one concept, put it together with this other one concept, and together you've got something totally new. And I think it's in that opportunities are born. And human beings are incredibly good at connecting different things and putting them together.
Okay, we've got to go on to the second one, because that's the one, Zanatia Marat, that's the one that you need to know.
Exactly.
Why do we need to be a human panado?
Yeah, so I think panado is the quintessential painkiller.
Mm.
And I think, so what I was playing on that is that within your private life or in business life, there's pain. People, you know, there's a lot of suffering, but there's pain that you need to deal with. And I think if you're thinking like of a job, the reason a person has a job is because they're willing to do something that somebody else finds too painful to do themselves. And they hire that person to do that job for them. And it's the same way of thinking about a service that a company gives to their clients.
Q for us or Q for you or one of those things. It's the most basic example. The worst thing in the world for many people is to queue. So you're happy to pay somebody to do it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the most simple example, of course.
And that's exactly what you want to learn to do. You want to learn to look out for those opportunities to take the pain away from others. And I think it almost in my business, when I'm thinking of my best employees, it's those that I would miss the most if they were to leave. And the reason is because those are the ones that take away the most pain from everybody else.
And it's not only pain of doing things that you don't want to do, I imagine, but it's also the pain of being bored, a pain of, in other words, if you're a person that's great to have around,
exactly,
you want to be somebody that actually brings something positive.
So imagine you say to yourself, I actually want to make everyone's day a little bit better. So I'm going to set a goal for myself to make somebody, at least one person each day, laugh, smile, and feel good about themselves. And it's an incredible goal. And it reduces just the struggle that we have in all of our lives that we face with on a daily basis.
So when we're thinking about something for the future in terms of, what we need to look out for, in terms of changes in the environment and an incredible amount of change that is happening, is try and find a way that you reduce discomfort, and those are the things
services, those are the opportunities.
So you're looking at it both from a business perspective and a personal perspective.
And a personal perspective, because everyone wants to spend time with those that reduce their pain. And it's those people who decide, I'm going to own that problem and I'm going to do that and I'm going to make sure that gets delivered. That's really taking away pain from others. Your boss is going to like really value you for that.
Zanati, this has to resonate with you. It's such a thing. Tell me your thoughts.
It really does. And I mean, it also goes with your book, Smile Damn It.
Yeah.
Where you literally are such a positive influence, both in your personal life and in your business life, that people want to be around you. So I like it.
Time is 8:24. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. Jake Shepherd joining me in the studio. We're talking about the fourth industrial revolution, and we're going through the three things that Jake believes you need to have or to be aware of in order to make yourself relevant and be successful in the future. The first one is
lifelong learner.
Be a lifelong learner. The second one is be a human panado. And the third one is be a master storyteller.
Sure.
Now that I also would not have thought would have been one of the requirements. Tell us why you say that.
From my perspective, being a great storyteller is actually quite an all-encompassing concept. And I think maybe I can just start off by just giving an anecdotal story about James Small that I spotted on News 24 Sport. I think Wim Rugby had posted a very insight into an incident that happened in James Small's life.
Right.
And in 2009, James Small had tried to commit suicide. And in trying to get away from...
I wasn't aware of that, actually.
Neither was I, until I read this. Mm. And in trying to get away from the media and glaring publicity, he went to his mom's home. And basically no one knew he was there. And then the phone rang, and his mom picked up, and it was the office of the president wanting to speak to James Small. And James was incredulous, so he told his mother, put the phone down.
Yeah.
And the phone rang again. And it was the same person on the line saying that the president, Mr. Mandela, wanted to speak to James Small.
Wow.
So he got on the line, still not really believing what was going on. And Mr. Mandela said to him, "Hi, James, how are you? And what's happening in your life? You know, how come you've gotten to this point?" And he shared with Mr. Mandela the fact that, you know, he was no longer in the limelight and he was out of the game. And he felt that people had forgotten about him and he wasn't sure about his identity anymore. And President Mandela said to him that, "I know what you feel like. I also thought I was forgotten when I spent my years in jail."
Wow.
And it was that, it gave James an instant life perspective. And how big were his problems really? And then the president went on further to say, you know, you have a purpose, you have a role, and you have a responsibility because you were part of the class of 95.
I love that expression, class of 95. That's awesome.
World Cup triumph.
Yeah, of course.
And people haven't forgotten about you. You are a hero, and that's your identity. And in that moment, James realized, you know, it was a major turning point in his life, that somebody like Mr. Mandela would give him a call and take the time and the concern, have his people track him down, and then deliver a message of perspective and from somebody who had been through so much worse. And I think that shows actually the power of Nelson Mandela, but it also shows the power of a story. Because James had told himself that his life, had been forgotten, life was meaningless, he had no purpose, and a story like that can actually destroy a person.
In other words, I mean, that's an absolutely incredible story. But in other words, what you're saying is that your narrative, the narrative that you have constructed for yourself is very, very powerful and can take you in either direction. Because it can either be a story that you've told yourself of you being irrelevant and useless and pointless and forgotten, or it can be a story, it can be a narrative that says, I have so much more to give.
That's exactly it. So stories disempower, but on the other hand, stories can empower. And effectively, if you tell the right stories, you can turn a person into a hero and you can actually build a nation. And it's really trying to curate your stories for yourself to make sure that you can bring out your full potential, become the best that you can become. But it's also, I suppose, to some extent, it's recognizing the fact that we have an obligation to others And we can spot the potential in others and then hold up a mirror to them so that they can see what their possibilities are and help shape their stories and uplift them. And I think that's what really being a master storyteller is about, is being sensitive to the stories we tell ourselves and the stories that others tell about themselves, and realizing that if we can retell those stories and actually introduce healthy stories, we can really maximize our potential.
And what's interesting is that takes you back to your second point of becoming a human panada, because in that situation, that's exactly what Nelson Mandela was doing to James Small. He was just helping to take away pain.
He was taking his pain, but he also held up that mirror to him and said, you have a responsibility. You can achieve so much, and you're a hero to many. And that reframing James's own story for himself in, I think, is that point in his life, which was that major changeover.
Absolutely incredible. Time is 8:30. I've been chatting with Jake Shepherd from The Synthesis, and just talking about the challenges of the fourth industrial revolution. Three ways that you can protect yourself and make yourself relevant for the future. Number one is to be a lifelong learner. Number two is be a human panada. And number three is to be a master storyteller. A great, great message. Thanks for coming in and having that conversation. It is 8:31. Apologies, your news headlines are slightly late.